The annual Kiwanis Picnic, August 30, 1953, is about to be recorded for posterity. Mr. Keefe, is that recording tape warm today? And he asked me to kind of stand by the mic here and get this thing rolling along. Speaking of posterity, I think the ratio is about 3 posterities to 2 of us, and a casual glance around, I think it'll discover that we won't be able to hold that ratio very long. Bill Bellingham, would you bring some of these people up that are so distended with overeating, and we'd like to interview them very briefly here. Just give their appreciation.
Somebody's responsible for some of this pop that we've had to drink out here today.
Well, yes.
At least their husband. What about Ms. Anderson?
I think Mrs. Anderson should come up, yes. And Mrs. Anderson, would you mind telling us what you hold in your both hands?
I think it's grape.
You think it's grape? No brand name?
I'm used to saying that, anyway. Oh, gold.
How many of your family did you bring today?
Just one, the
Just
dirty one.
The dirty one?
Yeah, the other one.
You have some clean ones at home?
No.
No more, that's all of them.
Les, you might ask her how she makes pancakes with 7-Up. Yeah, that's a new trick, but she knows how.
She does?
Yeah. She never have told me.
One cup of flour and then what?
Then 7-Up.
And then 7-Up?
Well, I tell you, just take the box of mix.
And add 7-Up.
That's the way we make them.
That sounds very, very delicious. Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. I think I'll pass on, you know. Eddie wanted me to particularly thank the people that have done most of the work here today. We have overlooked a few of them, but Wally West was general chairman on this picnic, and with all his help, I think they've done a marvelous job. Would everybody join me? Yay! Others who worked with him and helped were Willard Baker, then Carver Anderson, whose wife was just up here, says here they brought pop, and Pete Decker and Jim Lyons, they brought up pop and other beverages, as long as this is being recorded. And JBN and an Owen Niter were also involved. Owen had quite a little to do with rolling up that prime ribs that we all enjoyed so much. And then kind of a volunteer kitchen committee who did, a lot of that work that has to be done before any of us ate were Mrs. Glenn Knight, Betty Anderson, Mary Lou West, Peg Annan, Bessie Sullivan, and Harriet Wiseman. Well, Al, I think you might as well go ahead and whack out a couple here, and then we'll start this interview business a little more.
What are you going to have?
The world is waiting for the sunrise. Me?
Glenn and Mrs. Townsend, come forward, please. And their 14-year-old son.
He'll have a hard job.
We don't have
I understand from the grapevine that this is their 13th wedding anniversary, and we'd all like to congratulate them. Would you Tell me now, you have for quite a number of years. How many has it been?
Well, we have a 16-year-old son.
Well, be secretive if you wish.
He's up on the roof.
You have other children, too, I believe, do you not?
Oh, yeah, a couple.
Boys and girls?
Boys and girls, yeah.
Any others?
No.
No. What anniversary is this for you folks?
Go ahead.
17.
That's wonderful. You were married where?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. And when did you come to the United States?
Oh, back about 42 or 43.
42
something.
3 years ago. Direct landing. Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Lynn and Miss Townsend. Awful glad you come out to the party.
Say, Lass, you know, some people come out here and drink beer, and others drink beer. And there's one that probably drinks more than any other man out here on these picnics annually, and I think we ought to give him a little show of recognition this time, and that's Alan Murphy, who does a good job out here every year, year after year.
I want to say something, and I'm going to say this is the first picnic of a Kiwanis I've ever been to. How can I say from year to year? This is the first Kiwanis picnic I've ever attended. What can you? How can you say from year to year? Give me. No. Leave us give an answer.
Where were you last year, Murph?
I was up in the park.
What park?
Yellowstone Park.
What were you doing?
Up in the park.
Parking in the park.
A lot of the people around here have asked why you wear these high-heeled boots with pointed toes.
It's because there's too many people like you around here. I have to get up on my toes.
You may please go back and sit down on it again, will you?
Lass, we've got an athlete here, too, by the way, that we didn't know that was hiding more or less in the ranks. I saw Glenn Rye out here throwing the ball around with some of the boys today, and he was doing a pretty good job. He was catching at least one out of three or so. I think we ought to get Glenn up here. You might want to interview him. Do you suppose?
I'd love to very much, yeah. Glenn Rye, will you come forward? To the members of the club, I would like to explain that this is our only potential millionaire. If he juggles the books at the bank like he juggled that volleyball, why, he'll make it all right.
What do you want to?
Huh?
You want a fine out of me?
We want you to go ahead and tell us why you play such lousy volleyball.
I know. You want me to say something about a bank and it'll cost me 2 bits.
It might. Yeah. It might.
Well, let's stick to volleyball.
Stick to volleyball.
I have nothing to say. Nothing. Just
are you in pretty good?
There.
Are you in pretty good condition, or what is that distension of your abdomen?
What do you think I got this thing out for?
I wouldn't know.
Maybe I should use the apron.
We're going to sell this apron after a while, and you can have it for a nominal bid.
What's that?
Probably 2 bits, 35 cents, or something. You got to get your finger on the apron. You may be excused.
Lass, you mentioned a while ago here about some of us being outnumbered by the younger fry. I don't know, perhaps there's somebody in the audience here that has a clue to fame here more, but I do know that Gene West, I believe, has something like 4. I think perhaps we ought to get her husband up here, the brute. You may want to interview him, do you suppose? Where is Chuck, anyway? Chuck Phillips, that is.
You know, Chuck, I have 4 children, too, but I think yours act a hell of a lot worse than mine do. How do you explain that? Is it environment or is it just heredity?
Yours are older. Mine have been learning from yours.
Well, it may have a great deal to do with it. You brought all 4 today?
We brought the works.
I only saw 3 of the meeting. Where was the other one?
Down there. He's down there someplace, playing in the dirt.
Oh, that dirty little kid over there.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet, huh? Gee, that's nice. And that's another one of your tow-headed daughters, isn't it, that's helping take care of them?
I just want these people to know all these tow-headed kids around here aren't mine.
Oh, there aren't so many tow-headed kids they could be.
Well, I've been more every year.
More every year. Well, we'll look for 5 next year then, Chuck. Thanks very much.
Lass, there's one thing that's been calling my attention up here, and that's the fact that apparently most of us are married, or at least indications are that way anyway. But there is one bachelor here, And I think Rich Lee's around somewhere. Now, I don't know what time they started off this morning, but I think perhaps that might be a point of inquiry here that might be somewhat interesting. I think we ought to have Rich and his girlfriend up here, don't you think?
Very fine idea. Rich. Rich Lee, we're waiting. Rich Lee, would you introduce your girlfriend to the audience today?
I think that since there's one against about 60 here, you're all picking on me. But at any rate, this is Faye Dalvey here from Billings.
Well, I'd like to say you're talking about your four kids. Well, I have 40 at school, and so I think I'm a little experienced, too.
I don't want to have anything to do with that department.
Wait a minute, you guys. Rich, I believe you've had Faye with you before at some of these Kiwanis functions, haven't you?
Well, on various other occasions, yes.
You were at the convention at Butte, were you not, Rich?
I sure was.
Did you have a good time at Butte, Faye?
That wasn't me. That was his other girlfriend.
Thank you very much for coming up.
Somebody's done a lot of work on this picnic. There's no question of that. Wally West, and I hear a sigh in front, which is understandable. But I think perhaps we ought to get his wife up here to see how she made the grade here on this particular thing. What time she got up this morning and so forth. Mary Lou?
Mary Lou West, we're awfully happy to have you up here. And what time did you get up this morning?
Oh, about 5.
What time did your husband get up?
About 9.
About 9. Is that the standard Sunday morning ratio?
No.
It isn't?
No, it's usually 9 and 12.
He was home by 9 o'clock this morning, though.
Yeah.
We're awfully glad to hear that. I think out in this beautiful rustic scene out here that it'd be awfully nice to have just a little bit of nature study. I understand that you have a little essay that you often give on why you stick your head behind a cottonwood tree. Would you care to tell us about that? No comment.
I'm like an ostrich.
Her husband might like to elucidate a little further.
Oh, let him have
so it won't show.
dear. Bill, you may have this for a while.
Is he? I know here on previous picnics, we've had one person that's had a great deal of trouble getting out to them. He goes by way of Roberts and Absaroke and several other places coming en route. And I don't know how his itinerary was planned this year and what time he got here and what time he started out, but it might be interesting, as it has in previous years, if Doc Booth is here. Perhaps he could elucidate somewhat. Well, I see his itinerary. He's called him away already. Well, we do have a person here this past year that was very active. And suddenly, for no reason at all, he more or less threw the organization over and has become president of a very august organization, which we have in town, known as the JCs. And since no one has asked him publicly before his reasons and everything, and deserting this organization for such an august group, I think now might be an applicable time to call him to the stand and find out a little ands, ifs, and buts. Jim, do you mind coming forward? Jim Lyons.
Jim, I want the audience to particularly note that after one lesson with Dale Carnegie's new corset, he's got beautiful white teeth. Show them to the people. Now, speak into the microphone.
Tell you what, this organization always brags about being so young, and after a few fellas like this guy next to me gets up here, I decided it wasn't as young as I thought it was when I joined.
No, that's right, it isn't.
So I went back to a young man's organization.
Well, we're awfully happy you did. You don't fit in.
Thanks.
Well, you don't fit in so well with an older, dignified group, you know.
Oh, we have fun in our organization.
You do? Well, this is an awful droll out that we belong to.
You're a bunch of deadheads around
here. Yeah, I realize that. Jim, you brought part of your family up today, too, didn't you?
Yeah, all of it.
All of it?
All of it.
And give us the tally on that. How many wives? How many children?
I've got 3.
Good. Wives and children?
Right.
Or and or.
And or but. No more.
No more. That's
but
it.
No more.
Mm-hmm. And this JC organization has taken most of your time. Was it last year or this year that you were president?
This year.
This year you are president.
Right.
We can expect you back in the old man's group probably about the end of the year then.
I'll be 5 years older come next spring.
That'll help. That'll help. We'll welcome you back then.
Thank you, Les.
That is all.
Last, most of the members out here are old-timers here, the organization. But we do have the newest member of the group, Jerry Cummings, here. And I think it's fitting that we have him and his wife come up here. Besides, I understand his wife's in shorts. I haven't seen her around. I think it'd be a hell of a good idea. Jerry Cummings, would you mind bringing your wife up? You can come along, too, Jerry.
This man is authority on time or good time, apparently, Jerry. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Les. It's been fun.
Well, go ahead and make a little recording for posterity, will you?
Well, I haven't anything to say except I think that that bald head of yours is shining so bad I can't see up here.
Well, I'll remove it very shortly.
All right.
Do you folks have any children?
One.
One. Did you bring them along
No,
today?
We left him home with Grandma and Grandpa.
That's a good arrangement. I wish I had a Grandpa and a Grandma.
Well, if he was as young as yours, boy, you probably could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, some of us people that have children in the twilight of life, you know, they're awfully welcome. But I think I'm going to turn that phase of Kiwanis activity over to you younger people.
All right.
Good
we'll
luck
see what
to
we
you.
Can do.
I don't know. This may result a little disastrously, but somebody tells me we have a member here who's terrific at telling Southern stories, Russ Crutchfield. Russ, I wonder if you'd mind coming up and telling us one of your favorites. And I disclaim any responsibility or whatever, I assure you.
While he's on his way up, I'll tell a little yarn I heard the other day about this woman who went to the psychiatrist because her husband thought he was an icebox. And the psychiatrist said in his 25 years of work he had never heard of a delusion like that. So he said, "What makes you think your husband thinks he's an icebox?" And she said, "Well, when we go to bed at night, he sleeps with his mouth open and the light shines in my eyes." Russ, go ahead with your Southern stories.
Well, the story I have in mind now, a few years ago when I lived in Memphis, Tennessee, I saw a Negro ball game in course, and a friend of mine, myself, got out to watch it, and about the time we got there, the teams changed side. So I asked a fielder coming in what the score was. He says, "It's 21-0 in favor of the other side." I said, "Well, gee, they're kind of beating you, aren't they?" He says, "Oh, no, we ain't been to bat yet."
Now, this idea is strictly not original with me. I need no help along this line. But one of the older members here has suggested that we call up one of the newest fathers of the organization to tell a few secrets of his success. Eddie Keefe is the one interested here in calling up this particular person. I understand Willard Baker is a father of some 2 weeks or so. Willard, I wonder if you'd come up and tell us a few of the secrets about staying up at night as far as taking care of the young child is concerned, and any of the secrets of success that you may wish to offer to the group.
What was the birth date of this new child, Willard?
July 31st, I believe.
This year?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. That's long enough to wait for one. And how much did he she weigh at her...
He.
How much did he weigh when he was born?
8'3".
And his name?
Mark.
Middle name?
Oh, Lord.
No,
Gavin.
Mark Gavin Baker. I think that's a very fine name. You brought him home when he was 5 or 6, 7 days old, no doubt.
Right.
And has he foregone that horrible 2 o'clock in the a.m. morning feeding?
Well, I still get up every night with him, but then that's kind of...
Hey,
rough.
That's subversive propaganda. Yeah. Just lay off of that kind of stuff. Your other child is a boy also?
Right.
And how old is he now?
Oh, about 2 and a half.
How long did he stay on that 2 o'clock feeding?
Oh, not very long. The wife stayed up with him.
Oh, I see. He was a good child and quit in probably 10 days or 2 weeks. Well, if this goes on for over 30 or 40 days, you'll begin to have a very weary look about you, I know.
I look pretty weary now, don't I?
Oh, not bad, no, considering what you've been through. Thanks very much for coming up, Willard.
Mr. Chairman, you're asking us to make a
Mr. Keith, explain.
I didn't want anybody coming up here, as I said in the letter, looking for me with blood in their eye and saying, which way do you turn after you get to Absarkey? Does that explain it, Mr. Murphy? And again, we have Bill Bellingham, one of our master ceremonies.
We have here a man who's been with us now for several years, who's recently got a terrific advance in the company which he works for, General Payne Corporation. The one I refer to is Lloyd Keller, who will be leaving us in a couple of weeks. And all joking aside, I think this would be a good time to have Lloyd come up and make a, more or less, you might say, a farewell appearance, because we are going to miss Lloyd very much in the organization. And I'm sure that Les would like to have a little question session with Lloyd while he comes up. Lloyd, you mind coming to the front?
Could the secretary tell me whether Keller's dues are current or not? I'd like to know whether all he ate today was on him or on the club.
He stopped payment on the check.
Well, Lloyd, I understand that you are about to move on with General Paint into greater responsibilities. You will be stationed where when you leave here?
Oh, I don't know. It'll either be Denver or San Francisco.
Denver or San Francisco. And I heard someone like Bill Bellingham say that it would be a matter of 2 weeks before you left. Is that right?
Well, I don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
No. Hmm?
Could it be as late as the first of the year?
No, I don't.
It won't
so.
Be that long. I was trying to make a liar out of Bellingham. I'm not getting anywhere. Why don't you give us just a moment of your impressions of the Yellowstone Kiwanis Club? You've belonged with us here for a couple, 3 years now, and we do hate to see you go,
but we
wish you luck on your way.
It's been a nice vacation living here. I hate to leave, and it's been nice meeting all these people, a lot of the boys, the friendship, the fellowship. It's been really nice.
He'll have a hard time finding someone to drink coffee if he gets to Frisco. He does a lot of it around Billings. I don't know how he made such an outstanding record with his company, considering that he did slop up so much Norwegian gasoline.
Well, that's the reason they're transferring me. They say it's a vacation.
Best of luck to you and your family as you move along, then, Lloyd.
Come on, Bob. This isn't for you.
We have a man here who was called back to service 2 or 3 years ago. And since he's come back, he's told some tremendous battle stories. Some of us have had them told to us 3 or 4 times, or perhaps more. He's particularly good about the 19th hole out at the Yellowstone Country Club. I'm sure that those of you that haven't heard him out there on the 19th hole would appreciate one from him at this time, J.B. Annan.
Mr. Annan will be up shortly. He does not have to be interviewed.
I am not up shortly.
This will be a monologue. Go ahead, J.B.
I have practically nothing to say, but I'll tell you one thing for sure.
Go ahead and say it anyhow.
Okay. I don't mind that 19th hole, I'll tell you that. In fact, it's my best hole. But whenever I'm out there, there's always one guy out there, and I'm a pretty good liar. I admit it. I lie like anything. That Hanley's always out there. Where is that guy? He's always out there and out-lying me. That makes me mad. I don't mind 3 or 4 hand mashies in a round or something like that, but boy, I hate to be outlied on that 19th hole. No, that's just a story. We've got a lot to do here, boy, and one of the things we've got to do is take care of what we didn't take care of this afternoon.
There are remnants?
There are, well, remnants. Is that good? Will that sell?
That'll sell.
That'll sell? We got remnants then, boy. We got lots of them. Leftovers to sell too. Okay. Well, we'd like to kind of get rid of some of those remnants leftovers. Are you ready, boy?
Just about.
All right.
Before we sign off, we'll get Keefe away from that tape recorder and let him give a little solo here, too. Ed Keefe, come up and we'll talk for 10 or 15 minutes, will you?
Oh, thanks, Les. I don't intend to talk for 10 or 15 minutes. I was just going to say, Carver Anderson, come on up here a minute, will you? And shall we give him the same deal we give him before?
Oh, that's too good a deal.
Would you remove the...
No. Look at that! 7-up!
7-up.
Jeez!
Here it is, kids. There isn't a burp in the carload. What do you got to say about it, Carver?
There isn't a drink in the trainload.
After last week at Kiwanis, I haven't got much to say. I'm working all morning. I come... They take my shirt off, and I'm sitting at the table. People that come late look over, wonder what I'm doing without a shirt on. How'd you feel? I'm through.
We thought we lost your shirt to Coca-Cola.
What happened to Bill Bellingham? Bill, what'd you do, desert us? Say, Clyde, come up here a minute, will you? Yes, Clyde Schillinger. Kids, this is the fellow who does all the work. We have all the fun, but we do have a secretary. Clyde does all the work. We give him very little credit and lots of abuse. He's a fellow that sends you your statements once a month. And he also keeps track of your attendance, and if you drop in and stay 10 minutes and sign a slip and leave it on the table, that's the one he tears up. But anyway, Clyde, how many is it, four?
Four.
Clyde just wants Les Mullen and Chuck Phillips to know that he's no sissy. He's got four, too. And here's Clyde, our secretary.
Thanks a lot, everybody. What am I supposed to say?
Just say a few words.
Pay your bill.
Yeah. Everybody pay your bills. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thanks a lot, Clyde. Now, we have a fellow that plays the piano every week for us. And this is, we're going to have him over here, but not to play the piano for a minute, but come on over here a minute, will you, Al? And start walking so that you can get over here before I run out of breath. We want you to say a few words to this gang. This is the fellow that shows up every single meeting, and he plays America just like he had never played it before. And we sing it the same way. All out of breath, and with a keyboard at our side, this is one of the greatest pianists of all times, Al Goskobar. Al is also our program coordinator. Al, tell the girls how busy you are down at the Kiwanis Club.
I'd be here all afternoon, Ed, if I was going to tell them how busy I am. This playing and singing, you know, is supposed to be coordinated, but seems as though the piano player's waiting for the singers or vice versa. But before the end of the season, I think we're going to have them trained. We're not going to get left. I'm going to tell you a little story. I think some of you heard this little story about the rabbits that was being closed in by the herd of foxes. And they looked back and they saw the foxes was gaining ground, and one of them said to the other, you think we should stop and outnumber them? The other one says, no, no, keep going, we're brothers. Bill Bellingham, you're next.
There he stands way over there by the car. Let's see as I look around, I'll tell you what. Let's have the wife of our first president come up here. Where is Mrs. Mullen? We haven't had our sweetheart up here yet, and so we're going to bring her up here, and let's everybody give her a great big round of applause. Well, we just want you to tell us, how do you take such good care of Les that keeps him in such good shape that he rules the roost so good down the Yellowstone Kiwanis?
Well, that's a secret.
Well, you've got to tell us or we won't know.
I can't tell you.
You can't tell us and you won't, huh?
No.
Well, anyway, would you say, have you had a good time out here today?
Yes, we've had a lovely time. This is one of the best picnics yet.
Well, that's fine. Say, by the way, come back here. How many youngsters have you got again? Four?
We have five of our four children out here today.
Five of your four children? That includes Les. Well, thank you, Mrs. Mullen. And now, Al, would you give us just a short little skip before we start the auction?
Is that right?
We are going to have an auction, folks.
I need a couple guys to lug.
Two fellows to lug in the kitchen. And Al Goskobar will now play,
Let's all
what?
Sing a little Montana.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, it was about time you learned the
word. Well, Lynn, listen, let's have him sing I Want a Girl.
All right, we've got another tune, and I Want a Girl.
I Want a Girl, just like the girl. Okay, fellas, here we go. And that includes the girls, too, of course. Come on and sing.
Oh,
Okay, now we're going to have Montana.
This open-air theater, we have no popcorn. That'd be too orthodox. We have corn on the cob with butter. Will you all help us clean it up?
Les. We have one more thing here that we'd like to take up, and we can't do it unless we got the female part of the family up here. So, Mrs. Bob Wright, would you step up, please? We want to question you about Bob's conduct in Butte. Would you like to do that, J.B.?
You better.
You're a lawyer.
You're there.
I'm.
Are you afraid of retribution?
No, I'm not afraid of retribution. But tell me, I understand Bob got a parking ticket.
Well, that's not all he got, Ed.
Well, I know that. But what about the parking ticket?
Well, he has his connections, you know.